Today I'm going to teach on the shield of faith. And last week I taught on As You Have Believed, and I thought it might be more than a one-week message. I don't know if this one will be or not, but I'm not going to push this one. God has, He gave this one to me before the one I taught last week, and it's been just kind of sitting there. And then after I got done teaching from last week, God said, now's the time to teach this. And it wasn't until this morning I was talking to Maggie and she was sharing a testimony with me about, and it had to do with last week's message, that God showed me that this is kind of the follow-up to that, to help you. Amen? To get in that place where you're ready so that, you know what, you're not having to run and grab your faith off the shelf. Because a lot of times what we do is, you know, everything looks okay, so we just kind of put everything on back burner. We don't keep strong in our faith. We just think, well, I'll pull it down when I need it. And you need to understand that faith is not an item that stays the same. You need to understand that. Remember when Jesus was out on the boat with his disciples? And the storm came up and they woke him up and they cried out, Lord, you know, save us. And Jesus went up to the front of the boat and he rebuked the winds and the waves and commanded them to, you know, peace be still. And they, everything settled down. And he turned around to his disciples and he says, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Amen? And so we need to constantly question ourselves on a regular basis. Where's our faith? If we got it sitting up on the shelf collecting dust, waiting for when we absolutely need it. Amen? Because a lot of times, and this happens, people get into trouble and they do everything they can to try and fix it naturally. And when none of that works, then they come for prayer. And if you're doing that, you need to understand that that has already diminished your ability to receive. Because when you look to the natural first for things, you're automatically excluding God in the sense of Him being able to deliver. And there's so many things in our lives that if we would give God the opportunity, if we were ready, say ready.
Ready.
If we were ready in our faith, we could knock it out and not even have to go to a doctor. Amen? Amen? We could knock it out and not even have to go to our credit cards.
Praise God.
Amen? Or go borrow money. We could just, man, our faith would just pull it in right away. Amen? And so the whole point of this teaching, in this sense, is preparing. And this is where living by faith really begins to excel and it starts to really make sense. Because for most of us, living by faith is something that, yeah, you know, I believe. And so we go on our way. But it's all mental. Amen? You can tell where your faith really is at in how you respond in the evil day. How you respond when trouble comes. If your first response is to try and fix it in the natural, you're not connected to God at that moment. That doesn't mean you're not His kid, and it doesn't mean that He's not there for you. It doesn't mean that He doesn't love you. He loves you deeply. And it doesn't mean that you don't have faith. You don't know how many times I've gotten busted, me, gotten busted, knowing faith, keeping my faith alive, strong, and fed, and I get caught approaching something naturally. And I'm like, what am I doing? And sometimes God's like, what are you doing? And then I switch gears. And the moment I switch gears and take authority over it, break the power of it from over my life, command it to be healed or command it to be gone or command the need to be supplied, whatever it is, I go about my business just like I taught last week. And as I believed, it becomes. It happens for me. And it happens on a regular basis, all the time, when I'm using my faith. You don't know how many times I've had symptoms where I just took authority over it and broke the power of it from over my body and went about my business and it all disappeared. Amen? Amen? Then, Pastor, why do you get sick? Well, you know, it's an attack from the devil. Jesus said, in the world, you'll have trouble. You'll have tribulation. Amen? And so we need to understand that, you know, sometimes you get caught up in a, you know, in this whole cycle of a perfect storm. Amen? And you're like, okay, I got to believe God now. And you get the victory. You overcome it. That's how I look at it. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Amen. And why would he tell us that we overcome the world if there wasn't going to be problems? Right? And he gets very specific with those problems in Romans 8, 35 through 37, that we're more than conquerors of. If you don't know what it is, go read it. I'm not going to quote it to you. Probably butcher it right now anyway. But faith is a shield. And Paul identified it as such. And it has a purpose as a shield. Now, faith is more than a shield, but it is also a shield. Amen? You're going to see that Paul defined faith as something else a little bit later. And because I'm going to get into it, because it brings in something that I need to bring in for you to help you. Amen? But I'm taking this out of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 16. And it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. You can always call on the power of God to strengthen you. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the word stand there is the word histomi in the Greek. And it literally means to stand. And there defines it as to stand still, to stand immovable, to stand firm. If you're getting moved when problems and trouble comes your way, if you're getting moved off your faith, then you haven't fully put on your armor. You have to understand the devil has schemes and tactics and plans to get at you, each and every one of you. Let me read on through here so that you get it. That you may stand against, and the word against there is the word pros, and it's a preposition of direction, which means stand against. In other words, you're facing off the devil. You're standing against what he's trying to do to you. You're facing it off. You're not running from it. You know, I remember one time my Andy, when she was really little, she was not little, but she was like 8 or 9 or something like that. And she was riding a bicycle and she rode it into a block wall and broke, was it her leg or her arm? Her leg. She broke her leg. And I get over there, she's crying really bad, and I get over there too, and I look at her and said, Andy, I go, what would you rather me do? Because she's already knows Jesus, man. And she knows faith. I go, what would you rather me do right now? Pray for your leg to be healed and get it, or do you want to go to the doctor? And she said, I want to go to the doctor. And I said, okay, let's go. Went to the doctor. They put her in a cast. We came home. 2 weeks later, she's like, Dad, can you pray for me to be healed? I said, no. Now, God's working on you. He's healing. You're going to heal up just fine. But you need to understand something. When you go the world's way, you pay the world's price. I've broken bones and seen God in my own body multiple times and seen God heal me right there on the spot. Now I don't break bones. I lay hold of, you know, Psalms 35, where it says, you know, that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones that none of them are broken. So that's part of my daily scripture, man. I'm not going to get a busted hip. And I have fallen.
Yes, you have.
I have fallen multiple times on concrete from 2 steps up. Never broke a bone. I cracked my wrist on these stairs because I was going up the stairs and I had some food and I was just going up and my foot caught the stairs and I went forward and I was trying to save my meal. Don't do that. And I went down, and when I did, I went into the corner of where the step was, where the riser, where it rises up and then the flat. I went right into the corner, and I kept going. And this wrist here, I felt it. It fractured because it was bound by my weight, which was considerable, even more than it is now. And man, it hurt. I sat down and I grabbed my wrist and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to deal with this. I'm healed. I command these bones to mend. I command my wrist to function. I command my body to be healed right now in Jesus' name. And I sat there and waited. Food everywhere. I didn't care. I sat there and waited. And all of a sudden, I felt it feel better and better. And I reached over and I grabbed it and it stopped hurting. And I just got up from there, cleaned up my mess, went and made my lunch again. And this time, I was sure not to trip. Amen? How many of you are willing to do it that way? It seems like the hard way. But once you start getting results, it's the quicker way. And see, what happened was is that she started complaining and crying. And it's like, Dad, man, this cast, it itches. I want it off. And I was like, no, you got to go. You did it the doctor's way. You got to follow what he says now. Now, that's not necessarily the truth. I did that to her so that she would have an object lesson about taking the easy way out. And I found out from her halfway through her cast thing, the only reason she wanted to go to the doctor was to have a cast. So that people could sign her cast.
Oh my gosh.
Ask her, man. I was dumbfounded. And I laughed, you know, inside I laughed. I go, because I think sometimes we all do that. We want sympathy or something, you know, we're looking for the easy way out. Faith is the right way out. Amen. And I'm not knocking going to the doctor. Trust me, man. If I had to go, I'd go. Amen. But faith first.
Amen.
Now, how can we get there? This is where you got to learn how to turn your faith into your shield. Because if you look at this a little bit differently, you know, here I'm talking about this vague idea of faith for some of you. You know, how do I deal with faith on a level to where I'm living it, I'm walking it, I'm taking it up? But at the same time, you know, because there's some vagary to it, you know, we don't really ever get a hold of it. And I think that's one reason why God gives us images and illustrations from the Word so we can grasp a better understanding of it. It goes on to say, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the trickeries, and all the... It's funny, the word wiles there is the word methodia. And it's where we get the word method from, the methods of the devil. And I think I love that, just the idea of the method. Satan has his methods, right? And he uses them. Amen. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We wrestle. Which means you have some close contact with the devil and what he's trying to do in your life.
Absolutely.
Right? Because the word wrestle there is the word agon in the Greek. And it's kind of the beginning part of where we get agonizomai, something like that, where it means to battle, to wrestle is the verb form of that. But we get the word to agonize. We get the word agony from that. That sounds like it sucks, doesn't it? But that's the thing, is that we have much more close contact with the devil than we think we do. We look at him as being out there and stay away from me kind of thing. Amen? But he's constantly trying to get in. And you have to pay attention. You don't know how many times, and I know when I get to heaven, I'm going to find out. But you don't know how many times the devil has told me, hey, you know what? Your wife is out there. She's driving around. And he'll show me an image of a car wreck. And I'll sit there and say, no, devil, in Jesus' name, the angels are given charge over her and they protect her in all her ways.
Amen.
No harm's coming to her. And thanks for letting me know what you were planning. Amen? But most people, they see something like that and they start becoming afraid. You know, they call him up. Are you okay? Are you okay? Well, let's go ahead and reinforce, you know, his ability to do what he's, you know, showing you he wants to do. But I've done that over years, decades. I've lived like that. My kids, as they grew up, they'd be out on the street, and I, you know, the devil would say, "Hey, you know, I got you now." And I go, "Thanks for warning me. Angels, watch over my kids, protect them, see to it that no harm comes to them."
Yes. And they're alive.
And they're all still alive, doing well. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
You got to learn to attack straight on. Now, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, verse 13, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And that word withstand there literally carries the meaning of, it's the word antihistamine. It's funny, it's where we get antihistamines from. You know, they stand against pollen. They stand against allergies, right? But that's what that word is. It means to stand against. It means to oppose, to set oneself against, to withstand, resist, and oppose.
Thank you, Jesus.
And look at what he says here. He says that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole armor of God. I'm only going to focus on the shield of faith. And there's a particular reason for that. And you'll see in a second. But it's not just that. You know, this is an opportunity for you to go to the Word, to go and begin to dissect this in Ephesians 6, dissect the armor down, and see where you might be lacking. Amen? Thank you, Jeff. Stand therefore. No, well, it goes on to say, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, and the word done there is the word katergazomai, which means to work fully, to accomplish, to finish. In other words, to do something in part is to not do it at all. Amen? We've got to learn to extend ourselves and get to work in the Word, to get to work in our spiritual walk, to get to work in taking on what God is calling us to take on so that we can withstand in the evil day. Say evil.
Evil.
Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. The word evil there for evil day is the word poneros. And poneros, there's two words usually. There's kakos, and then there's poneros. Okay, let me say this again. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. The word for evil there is the word poneros. And the two words, kakos and poneros, kakos carries more of the meaning of evil, wicked, somebody who's wicked and demented and, you know, they're twisted, all right? It carries more of that concept. Poneros, on the other hand, it's evil, but it's evil that's seen as, you know, let me give you Thayer's definition. It's full of labors, hardships, bringing toils, annoyances, perils, causing pain and trouble, and in a physical sense, diseased or blind. So the word poneros can carry with it the concept and reality of sickness and disease. Amen? So when you're standing against the evil day, you're standing against the hardship. You're standing against something that the devil and all of his cohorts, you know, principalities, powers, mights, you know, dominions, darkness, rulers of the darkness, and, you know, those guys, all of them have been working that they've brought against you. Now, God wouldn't say this to you to scare you. You wrestle with these things, but you have power over them.
Amen.
You need to understand that every knee must bow to the name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Amen? You have authority. And Jesus said so himself when he was talking to the 70. I believe it's in Luke 10. You know, he tells them, you know, that I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, when you get that, what Jesus is saying, you begin to live a bit of a freer life. You're more free. You have freedom. You're not fearful. You're not afraid. You're not worried about every little thing coming your way to hurt and destroy you. You understand that, right? that you may be able to withstand in the evil, the hurtful, the damaging, the toils, the annoyances, perils, the pain and trouble, and in a physical sense, it's sickness and disease. Amen? That's the evil day. Now listen to me. He wouldn't tell you to take up the whole armor of God. Listen, he wouldn't tell you to take up the whole armor of God if you weren't going to face evil days. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation. Paul says right here, he says, you're going to face evil days. That you may, say may. That means that it's not guaranteed to happen, but it may happen. That you may, amen, stand against the devil, that you may withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having done all, having worked out everything, all of it together. You know, I get people that are suffering and you know, they're sick and stuff. And, you know, we tell them, get in the Word. And, you know, we send them a packet of scriptures. It's like a little book now. But the point is, just start on it and keep going. Daily. It's like reading a book. Spend as much time as you can reading those scriptures and building yourself up in your faith. And people won't do it. They're looking for some kind of magic formula that's going to save them. When it talks about fools and when they draw near to the gates of death and hell, they cried out to the Lord. What did the Lord send them? His word. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I don't have anything more than that. You got to understand, whatever I offer, it is based on the Word. And you've got to bring yourself into harmony with that, with the Word, not me. I am not the source. God's the source. You may feel the power of God go into you, but it's from God. And you need to feed that daily. And the way you feed that is by the Word. You feed your healing, you feed your strength. Proverbs 4 says that. In the Old Testament, they knew that. Don't let the Word depart from before your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Talk it. Amen? For it is life to those who find it and health to all their flesh. And the word health there literally means medicine and healing and a cure. Amen? I know I harp on this all the time, but maybe someday people will get it. Stand therefore. Now moving on. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. You need to know the truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. You need to know righteousness. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on. Verse 15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, you know the good news of peace, that God is for you. He's not against you. You know His grace. You know you can come His throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And above all, say that.
Above all.
That's the word epi. Over all. This is above all. Say it again.
Above all.
Above all. And that word all there is interesting. It's not the word. Well, it is the word pas here, and it means all, any, every, the whole, everything, above everything. And it's saying above the full armor of God up until this point. Above all. Taking, and the word taking there literally means to take up, to raise. And this is the problem that I find in the body, is that most of you guys have your faith laying around somewhere. You don't have it on you. Where is your faith? That's what Jesus asked his disciples. Where is your faith? Where'd you leave it? Taking. It's actually taking. It says here, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith. The actual translation here should be taking up, because that's what the word literally means. It's the word analambano, which means to take up, to raise. to take up a thing in order to carry or use it. In order to carry or use it. You should have your faith ready for use at any time. Well, how do I do that, Pastor? That's where your daily scriptures come in. You know, you get up, you spend 5 minutes. Man, it doesn't take me more than 10 minutes to go through my scriptures. And I have like 40-something of them. It doesn't take me but a few minutes to go through them. And just sit there and speak the scriptures out. I say them just loud enough for me to hear them. And I read them back to me. And I believe them. And sometimes I say, amen, that's true. Thank you, Father God, for that one. I received that one. Oh, yeah, I like this one. Thank you, Lord. I get into it. Yes. Now, sometimes you're in a rush and you got to get it, right? And so you just fly through it. And I do that too. And then there's days I do it a couple of times. Amen. Depends, man. Depends on what the need is. Say need.
Need.
All right? But that's how you take up your shield of faith. You take up your faith. You take it up by reminding yourself the word, keeping the word, and based on that, knowing what you believe. I believe these things that I'm reading back to you, Father God. I believe this. That's how you take up your faith. You're conscious of it. Something comes up. Do I need my faith? Do I need to exercise faith here? Amen? Now let's get into the crux of this. Above all, taking the shield. Say shield.
Shield.
Now most of the time in the New Testament, or I think in the Old Testament, the word for shield is actually the word for a buckler. All right? And a buckler is a round, kind of like a round shield, and it's about the size of your forearm from your elbow to the tip of your fingers. So that when you close you slide your arm through a strap on one side and you grab the other side. So when you have it, right? That's a buckler. Now, buckler, what it would do was it would help you defend against swords. And it was easier to move and manipulate and so on. So you could use it. You could use that buckler as a weapon. You could take it and bash somebody in the head with it. I mean, you hit them right, you could kill them right there on the spot. So it was a weapon. And sometimes they had little pointy things on the center of them so that when you pushed into somebody, you'd stab them. Isn't that cool? No. I think it's cool because that's what you do to the devil. Amen? But the word for shield here doesn't mean a buckler. The word for shield here is the word thuros. And it's Thoreos, rather, and it's only used one time in the New Testament, and it's right here. It's only used once in the New Testament. It's funny how I keep running into words that are only used once in the New Testament, or twice. Wow. But it's only used once, and it's fitting because this is how the Roman legions would actually march into battle. They would use these shields called Thoreos. And the shield, and this is the definition of it, a large shield as door-shaped.
Wow.
I mean, it was 3 feet wide, 6 feet tall. If you were super tall, then you had to crouch, or you had to get a bigger one. Some of them had rings and hooks on each side to where they could hook up, and then they could just walk through the enemy. And it's funny because they were wide enough that if somebody shoved a spear through, it couldn't get to anybody. But their swords, they would do that all day long. And they used these short swords. Because, you know, the centurion, the Roman soldier's swords were only like 2.5 feet or 2 feet long on the blade. And they could just, you know, that's how it was.
Yeah.
Oh, wait until I get graphic here. I haven't even started yet. Now, taking up the shield of faith. This is a door-sized shield, right? It goes on to say, Smith, this is from Smith's commentary. It says, in the metaphorical language of the Bible, the shield generally represented the protection of God. It represented the protection of God. Amen?
God.
Isn't that cool? Yeah. The protection of God. But think of what it's called. The shield of what?
Faith.
Faith. So if you don't have faith, it won't work for you. Why? Because it's a shield of faith. It's made up of faith. It's not a shield and then you apply faith to it. It's faith as a shield. Now, faith has the ability to function as a shield. What is that for? Look at what it's for. Taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench. The word quench there is the word sebunumi. And it means to extinguish, to quench, metaphorically to quench, suppress, and stifle.
Praise God. Wow.
To quench, to put out, to extinguish, to quench, to suppress, to stifle. Now think about this for a second. How would you like to have the kind of faith that crushes and quenches the fiery darts of the wicked one?
Amen.
Wouldn't you like that?
Yes.
It crushes it. It quenches it. It puts it out. It stifles it. It shuts it down. Now, if you were walking around with your shield of faith, right? Every which way you turn, you have faith. It's like a door. Anything coming at you, can't get to you. Amen?
Amen?
That's why we're to withstand in the evil day. We're to stand against, towards, direction towards the evil day, is because that's how that shield works. When that evil day comes and all the calamity and all the destruction and all whatever it might be, sickness or disease, your faith as a shield begins to crush it and quench it. And you can take that shield and, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen movies where, you know, they have shield guards up and then the shield guards are the ones sent out first. Why? Because when they have an army full of archers, who's going to protect the warriors? It's the shield guard that protects the warriors. And they have big enough shields to where they can crouch down underneath that and people can hide behind it. Say fiery darts.
Fiery darts.
Word fiery means on fire. Set on fire by the fires of hell. And a dart means a missile. It means a spear or it means an arrow. So when he's launching a spear, imagine this. You got your shield of faith up and it hits your shield of faith. Amen? Arrows. I mean, you've seen them where the front of their shields were covered in arrows. What did they do? They took their swords and like that, just took it off. And there were times when they would walk over the enemy, their shields, they would push over and they'd push them down and then their shields would fall on top and then they'd just crush them as they walked over them. They didn't mess around. You have a shield in faith. Faith will shield you.
Praise you, Jesus.
From the evil day. It's a shield.
Thank you, Lord.
Now we know that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The helmet of salvation, and so on. I left those out because I didn't want to bring them in at this point. I want you to understand your offensive weapon is obviously the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, right? You fire the Word at them. But think of it this way. When you're firing the Word at them, it's going through your shield, and it's strengthening your shield as it's going out and attacking them. Don't raise your hands. Don't raise your hands. I'm going to ask a question. I don't want you to raise your hands on any of the questions I ask right now. How many of you, you know, feel exposed right now in life? Don't raise your hands. You feel exposed. You feel like anything could happen to you. How many of you feel like you wouldn't know what to do if all of a sudden you were facing the evil day? Don't raise your hands. I don't want to see you. I just want you to think about it. Amen? If you're one of those that feels exposed, and you know, you can tell if you're kind of deceiving yourself. You know, if you're deceiving yourself and you're thinking that, you know, I'm exposed and you're not taking up that shield of faith, you don't really have any protection. Because that shield represents God's protection for you and me.
That's awesome.
And that protection is empowered by our faith. That's how you get the protection of God, is it's empowered by your faith. And you have to have it ready. It's not something that, when you get hit with the evil day, that you all of a sudden, where's my shield? Go grab your shield and put it up, because now you're already loaded with spears and arrows. It's a little bit late now. Amen? And I see it happen all the time. People, all of a sudden, they walk up and there's these fiery darts in them. And, you know, it's like, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. It's like, whoa. You need a doctor, a spiritual doctor. We got to rip out those arrows and, you know, get you healed up spiritually. How do I do that? The Word. And that's why I tell you, go get in the Word. Go get the Word. Because the Word is what heals. Yes. It's life to those that find them and health to all their flesh, right? Yes. That's how you get the healing, is from the Word. But you come up to me and you expect me to pull the arrows out and then fix everything for you. It doesn't work like that. I'll pray. And God will move as He can. Are you listening to me? He will move as He can. That's why it takes a while for some of you. It's like, Pastor, how come things aren't happening? Well, I could tell you, but you wouldn't want to hear it. You know, be it done according to your faith. Where's your faith? That's the one right there, man. Jesus said it. You know, and nowadays, you know, Christians get all up in arms because it's like, how dare you tell them that they just don't have faith? Well, what else am I going to tell them? I'm not going to tell him it's God's will for him to die from that. We're to be prepared so that we can crush and quench the fiery darts of the wicked in the evil day. And you're going to face your evil day. Are you going to be ready for it? Amen. Shield. Say shield.
Shield.
That's your faith. It's a shield. It's a shield before it's anything else. Are you listening? It's a shield. Of faith. Pistis, persuasion, credence, confidence, belief, moral conviction. Conviction of the truth of anything. How convinced are you that God heals today? Still heals you. How convinced are you that Jesus, you know, that you, He redeemed you from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for you? That you've been redeemed from all of sickness and disease? How much do you really believe? How convinced are you? That's what faith is conviction. And so for you to have a shield of faith, faith isn't something that I just believe this in my head. No, it's something you'll base your life on. It's something that you'll lay your life down on the line over without a second thought. People die for the name of Jesus daily. And it's because they believe. They lay their lives down on the line. They understand that they might be martyrs. They lay their lives down on the line. But you know, you can even overcome persecution. If you know how. Amen. All the fiery darts. Oh, I like this last part. Of the wicked. All the fiery darts of the wicked one. Scratch out one in there, because all it says is all the fiery darts of the wicked. And the reason that's good to do that is that when you say wicked one, you're focusing on the devil. When the truth of the matter is, the word wicked is the same word poneros there. That you quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, of the evil day, is what that really should be referencing. The evil day, poneros. You know? Full of labors, hardships, bringing toils, annoyances, perils, causing pain and trouble. In a physical sense, diseased or blind. Wow. That includes even being blind. Yes. Amen. Praise God. Now, okay, I got time still. I'm going to spend a moment. We're going to juxtapose this a little bit, contrast it a little bit. And Paul says this in a different way in 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 through 9. And it doesn't mention shield. But the reason why I'm going to share this passage with you is because it gets into something that I think is critical. And I think that it's something that needs to be dealt with in our church as well as in the body of Christ. Amen? It's something that people have a wrong idea about. All right? And you'll find out what it is when I get into it. Okay? Now, a couple things. First of all, taking up the shield of faith will require us watching and being sober. Amen? You got to be ready. You got to watch out for things that are coming against you. You got to be paying attention. It was like my wife, I'm going to use you as an example, but back when she was really young, still, Andy was a baby. She was coming out of the bedroom. She had needed to use the restroom, and she came down the hall, and a big old demon came out of the bathroom that she was going to go in and use, and she stopped, and she looked at him. He looked at her, and he went on his way. She went on her way. That's being asleep. Amen? That's being asleep. And you know the rest of the story. She suffered a tremendous sickness because of it. Now, but she got the victory. Say glory to God.
Amen.
Say glory to God. Even when you mess up and you don't have your faith ready, God can still give you the victory. If you're willing to take up the shield of faith and get to work in the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Building yourself up where you need to be. Some of you, your faith is only big enough to cover your hand. And you got to get it door-sized, right?
Amen.
Amen. All right. 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 through 9 says, therefore, let us not sleep as others do. And the word sleep there is the word katheuto, which means to sleep, to lie down, to rest, by implication, to fall asleep. in some cases, this actually means physically. God calls you out of bed to go pray. You need to get out of bed and go pray. There have been times in my life, man, where I'd go to lay down and go to sleep, and I haven't read my scriptures that day. And I feel this conviction. And I got to get up and go read the Word. Because that's my protection. Even while I'm asleep. Are you listening? And I get up and I go sit down and I read my scriptures. You know, I hate having to do it, I just like you would. But you know what? I know what's good for me. I don't like brushing my teeth, but I do it every day. Thank God, huh, baby? Now I'm flossing every day. I have this special mouthwash that I use every day. And then I have a mouth guard that I use now. That's the one I hate, but I need it. Anyway, you learn to do what you got to do. Amen?
Amen.
If you want to protect what's yours, you need to do what it takes to protect it. So, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. The word watch there is the word Gregorio. I've said this many times. It means to keep awake, to watch literally or figuratively. That's from Strong's. Thayer defines it as to watch metaphorically, to give strict attention to, be cautious, active, to take heed lest through remission and indolence, which is just laziness, some destructive calamity suddenly overtake one.
Wow.
That's from a Thayer's, man, from their word definition of that word Gregorio. How many of you are alert and ready for something like that to come across your path? Or how many of you are, I'm okay, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. Well, you know where that goes, right? You know, and it says that poverty will come upon you like an armed thief. Watch. We've got to become watchful. If we're going to have our faith work for us as a shield, we've got to learn to be watchful. I'm watchful. Sometimes I'll sit there and pray in tongues just watching. I'll just sit there and watch. My eyes closed. I'm just watching. They did some research. I read something. I heard something. I don't know if it's true or not, accurate or not. But they did some research on praying in tongues. And they actually did an MRI on somebody that was praying in tongues. I think it was an MRI. But they saw certain areas of the brain light up.
Absolutely.
When they were praying in tongues. They completely did not expect this. They saw some areas of their brains light up. That is the area that deals with receiving information.
Oh, that's cool.
Praise you, Jesus.
Can you believe that?
That's cool.
That blew my mind. I'm like, oh my gosh, if that's true, we're constantly in a state of reception when you pray in tongues. And some of you are like, well, you know, God never talks to me. Well, that's because you're never in a state of reception. Now, there's a way around that if you don't know how to pray in tongues or you don't like it. Get in the Word. God will talk to you. He'll slam you with scriptures that you need to know. Amen? He'll talk to you. I mean, before I ever got filled with the Holy Spirit, God was talking to me through His Word. Man, you don't know how many times I had verses and passages. All of a sudden, they'd go like this, and they were huge in my eyes. And I looked down, and it's the same size on the page, but every time I read it, it just like... That ain't God talking to you. I don't know what is. And there has been some of those I have lived my life based on. And they have done me good all my life. They gave me direction. One of them in particular, two of them, two passages in particular, are the core source of my calling. And that's how I got it from God. I didn't get no supernatural voice. I'm calling you, son, to do this and this and this and this. Matter of fact, I fought with one of them and God said, why are you fighting with this? So I didn't get nothing good. I got a kind of a correction. If I've called you to it, don't I have a right to do what I want with you? And I'm like, absolutely. He said, well, stop fighting it. Just go do it. I said, yes, sir. Been doing it ever since. 40-something years. Now, let us watch and be sober. Again, the word sober here. Is that word? This is a different word. The word, the one that sleeps, is the word katheuto, which means to sleep. The word sober here is different from the word watch. It's the word nepho, and it means to abstain from wine to keep sober. That's how Young or Strong's actually translates it, or interprets the definition of it, and it's based on that. It's more of a metaphorical thing. Whenever you see the word nepho used. In the Greek, used in the New Testament, it's only been one or two spots where it actually is talking about alcohol, you know, where it means that. But every place else, it always means the more metaphorical, which means, and this is the way Thayer defines it. He says to be sober, to be calm and collected in spirit, to be temperate, to be dispassionate, and circumspect. You know what that all means? To be sober. It means, number one, to be calm and collected in spirit. In other words, nothing riles you up. The devil comes to attack you, and it doesn't even faze you. You're just like, okay, that's the devil. Amen? I mean, things that have happened in our house, and I don't get all fired up and freaked out. Amen? I'm calm, and I'm collected in spirit.
Yeah, you are.
And there have been times when I've had to move quickly, because I knew what I had to do. I moved quickly, but I did it calmly and collected. I knew exactly what I needed to do, and I went and did it. Amen? That's calm and collect in the spirit. Calm. Collected. To be temperate, self-controlled. That's what temperate means, is to be self-controlled. Dispassionate. You don't get fired up emotionally. Some of you need to learn how to knock that out of you. Some little thing comes along and you're freaking out and you're all emotional about it. Somebody does something that looks a little off and you rip into them. That's got to go. Because the devil uses that to set you up. You don't know how many times I got in strife in the past and I ended up sick because of it. He knew how to push my buttons. He knew the moment that I stepped out of line with love and violated love, he had me, because faith works by love.
Exactly.
And dude, within days, I was sicker than a dog. Did God do that to me? No, the devil did. Took advantage of my stupidity. And he does it to us all the time. Takes advantage of our stupidity. You know, we think we're so smart and we're not. You know, in the grand scheme of things, you're just a baby.
Yeah.
Think about this. Adam lived to be 935 years old. If we get to 85, 90 years, we're one-tenth of what he's lived. Are you listening?
Yeah.
We haven't even started yet. 90 years old, 100 years old was considered a child compared to those men and women. Talk about ancient. The wisdom that they could have and also the evil wisdom they could have. Some of them gave the devil a run for his money on how evil they could become. Sober. Dispassionate. And then circumspect. Circumspect means paying attention all around you. Watching out. You know, once you develop that as a habit, as a discipline to be circumspect, it gets easy, people, to watch out and make sure that you're not saying something to offend, that you're not, you know, that you're not walking into some destructive situation to make sure. I mean, there's times, man, when people have said things to me and it was a wide open door for me to get in strife with them. And because I was circumspect and dispassionate, I didn't fall for it. I just eased myself back and was calm, cool, collected, and let God work it out. Amen? There have been a few times when I had to agree. Now, for those who sleep at night and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Now, Paul says it differently here. He calls it the breastplate of faith and love. Amen? And actually, it's interesting because 1 Thessalonians was the first letter that Paul wrote out ever to anybody. It was 1 Thessalonians. Amen. And he wrote it to the Thessalonian church. And so at the time, he was looking at it, and this is his perspective. And I think later on, when he got to Ephesians and he started writing it, in the context of what he was saying there about the evil day, he realized that the focus was faith has to be that shield. Faith is that shield. Amen. But he calls this the breastplate of faith and love. And I wanted to delve into this just a little bit because even though it doesn't call it a shield, it does protect. It's protective, right? Now, the word breastplate there is the word thorax in the Greek. And it literally means the breast, the part of the body from the neck to the navel to down here. Amen? There defines it as, that's their's definition. You know, the part of the body from the neck to the navel. And Strong says kind of the same thing. But it says a breastplate or corset consisting of two parts and protecting the body on both sides from the neck to the middle. Protecting the body on both sides. And so when Paul wrote this, he was looking at faith protecting the heart, love protecting your back. Because it's called the breastplate of faith and love. And he knew that faith works by love. We see that in Galatians chapter 6. Faith works by love. So he knew that when he saw that corset, the two pieces of metal, because they were metal, a lot of times they wore chainmail underneath them, and then on top they would put the shield or the breastplate, and they would put it on, and then they would put the back on and hang it over, and they usually had like leather straps that would let you hang it over your shoulders, right? And then they would have somebody tie it up on the sides. They would lace it up on the sides. Amen? And even though the side was kind of a weak spot, anybody coming at you from the front or anybody coming at you from the back couldn't get to your vital points. You guys understand that, right? And so he put those two together thinking, you know what? That's a breastplate of faith and love. That's what you got to have in order to survive and to overcome. You got to have those two working together. Right? That's where he was coming from. Later on, when it came to just a devil and dealing with the devil in the evil day, he called faith that door-sized shield. Because that came later on. He goes, "That your faith is a door-sized shield. You can hide behind your faith.
Praise
you don't even have to crouch down, man.
Amen.
You stand behind your faith and stay there. They can't get to you.
Praise
because you're facing the enemy. Amen? Whereas in life in general, you know, you're going to get attacked from all different sides. And so love protects your backside. Because you walk in love, it protects your backside. It keeps your faith active, and faith protects your heart because faith is of the heart. Amen. Now, just a couple of things I want to share with you out of this. Ephesians 6, the breastplate was called the breastplate of righteousness. All right? Here, in 1 Thessalonians 5, it's called the breastplate of faith and love. Since Paul wrote both of those, it's not hard to assume that he equates righteousness with faith and love. The key to our righteousness. Now, because throughout the New Testament, and definitely out of the Old Testament, righteousness has conduct associated to it. That you're doing righteous things for God. You're walking in righteousness. You're walking by those righteous steps. Amen? But we know that our righteousness is by faith. Our righteousness is by faith. And so what Paul saw here was that the breastplate was faith and love. Righteousness is the equivalent of you living and walking in faith and love.
That's awesome.
When you're walking in faith and love, your righteousness before God is established.
Thank you.
It's strong.
Thank you, Lord.
You know where you stand with God. It's when you're violating love or violating faith that you're all over the place and you don't know where you stand with God. Is that clear?
Yes.
Amen. He goes, I'm saying all this. Faith taking you beyond, now let me repeat that. It says, since Paul wrote both of those, it's not hard to assume that he equates righteousness with faith and love. Faith taking you beyond the works of the law to gain acceptance from God and salvation. While love is now how we express our righteousness in Christ. It's how we express our righteousness. We walk in love. The shield of faith, number three, deals with quenching the trouble that comes at us from the devil. While the breastplate of faith and love guards and protects the condition of our hearts before God. You see the difference? That's why, you know, if somebody were to read this, well, Pastor, you know, Paul calls it the breastplate of faith. You know, why is it one place it's the breastplate of faith and the other place it's the shield of faith? Because the shield of faith protects you from the evil day. It has the capability of quenching all the fiery darts of the wicked one.
That's awesome.
That shield itself quenches all the fiery darts of the evil one.
That's awesome.
Whereas the breastplate of faith and love is being equivalent to righteousness is what protects our hearts before God. We're living by faith and we're walking in love. Amen? So the shield of faith deals with quenching the trouble that comes at us from the devil, from the outside, while the breastplate of faith and love guards and protects the condition of our hearts before God. That may be why it calls us to watch and be sober and not sleep like others do. Because if you're not careful, if you're asleep, you start losing that connection between you and the Father. You put down faith, you put down love, you drop your breastplate, and you're exposed. Your heart's exposed to whatever comes. Isn't that interesting? Amen. Now, aside from that, going back to the shield of faith here, you know, and using this for the shield of faith, it's that whole thing. We've got to learn to be sober. We've got to learn to watch. We've got to learn to pay attention. We've got to be on guard. Say on guard.
On guard.
You know what on guard is, right? Anybody here familiar with fencing?
Yeah.
On guard is the position you take before you start engaging. So when the referee says on guard, you step back and you got your sword up there. You got it in that position where you can either attack or defend. On guard. It's French. Which means on guard. Be ready. And that's how we ought to live. We have to live being on guard, ready at any moment to either slice and dice with the word or to what? Quench with the shield of faith.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Finally, God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So understand that God has placed you. He has determined. And that word appoint there literally means, it's the word tithamine, it means to set, put, place, to establish, or ordain. Now, how many of you set the table before you eat? Yeah, you set the table, right? Set the table. What does that mean? Set the table means to place the dishes, the plates, the silverware. Now, sometimes, you know, in our house, my wife, she puts the plate together and brings it out. And it's got, we got everything we need while we're out there. But it's placed. In other words, it's set for a purpose. Are you listening to me? And that's what he's saying there. He's saying that you have not been set or placed for wrath. Wow. You're not ordained, because that's one of the metaphoric meanings of that. You're not ordained to wrath. You're not called to wrath, but to salvation. Amen? Amen. Isn't that upset? Look what it says. It says, the verse says, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." To obtain. That word obtain there means to acquire, to get. It also carries the concept of preserving. It's like possessing as one's own property and obtaining. In other words, salvation is your property. That's how God wants you to look at it. Salvation is mine. It belongs to me. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
All right, praise God. I'm going to stop here for today.